Justin read to you from Joshua chapter 24, and that's where our message for the morning will be coming from. If you've been with us during this series, you know that we have been following the children of Israel as they were under the leadership of Joshua, and we watch how God used their lives in transition to show forth his glory. That if you've been with us, we talked about how we have to have confidence to follow God. Our confidence is in God as we follow God through life's transitions. Make sure I'm talking to people in here. Anybody ever experienced a transition in life? Anybody, an unexpected kind of transition that just happened in your life? Well, we've been learning as we continue to watch the children of Israel. We learn from them that when we commit ourselves to following God's direction, what comes with God's direction is God's protection, amen, his provision, and his promise. And God is always faithful to fulfill his word. That's what we've been learning. And so we've been watching this nation go from being a wandering wilderness kind of people to now they are entering into the very promise that God gave to their forefathers in the promised land, in that land of Canaan. And the Bible declares, particularly in the 44th verse of Joshua 21, the Bible declares, "And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All," somebody say all in here, "all came to pass." And so as we look at God's word, what we see here is how God guided the children of Israel from a place in their lives that was seemingly nowhere to now here, where they are. And Joshua, at this point in the journey, is well advanced in years. He's had some tenure with time. He's had some experience in living. He is 110 years old. Anybody, you close to that? Okay, I'm just checking. He's 110 years old. Is it okay for me to say that he's old? Is that all right? That's not insulting? He's well seasoned in life. So now this military genius who's followed the mandate of God, as God had guided him through conquering all of the enemies that on the east and west of the Jordan River, God now has this man who is seasoned in his experience with him. And Joshua then calls on the children of Israel. Now, get this. Because anytime someone who's been walking with God that long has something to say to you, it's good for you to listen. I thought I got more amens from a grandparent right around there, right around through there. One of the things I love about our elders is that God has blessed them with a wealth of experience that we can learn from. In fact, the person I know personally, she's not 110 just yet, Pastor George, but she is 106. She is the great-great-grandmother of my children, my great-grandmother of Kiana. We call her affectionately Mama B. Mom B lives in her own home here in Houston and still is able to articulate the good things of God. I want you to meet Mama B by way of video, as one of Kiana's cousins was videoing her, because we can always learn from someone who's been walking that long. Why don't you check out Mom B for a moment?
My name is Beatrice Lyman Green. I'll be 106 March the 1st, which isn't such a long ways from now.
Yeah.
So it makes us say 106.
Tell me a little bit about being on this earth for 106 years.
It's good.
Good?
Sure. I want to be anywhere else. Walking around in my right mind. Reasonably. Can think of things. I stop and think of things that happen.
That's Mama B. Whenever you ask Mama B, what is the best time in your life? She always says, right now. Right now, in this experience. Wherever she is, she speaks to us about appreciating the now. I want to get you here because that's where Joshua is calling the children of Israel in that 24th chapter to understand and appreciate the now, where they are presently. He calls them to contemplate all that God has done and appreciate where they are right now. You're going to help me preach this message on today as our wild choir, our first graders are in the service with me, and I want to make sure we connect with all of them and just to ask somebody, are you appreciating now? Okay, let me try this again. You're going to help me preach this message while the first graders are here in service with us. So I want you to turn to somebody and just ask them, are you appreciating your now? That's right, now. Not yesterday, not last week, but are you appreciating right now? Notice the text in the first verse of Joshua 24. Brandon, good to see you. The Bible declares, and I'm using my first grader's Bible. The Bible declares, then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders and the leaders, judges and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. In this present moment, God uses Joshua to call his people together at a special place. The place in your Bible is called Shechem, and we shouldn't run past that because Shechem is a significant place in the life of Israel, those who have been following God. In there now, he calls them to this special place of major significance because Shechem was a place where God moved. If you know anything about Bible, you know then that Shechem is the very place where God gave Abraham, their forefather, the promise of the promised land. It was right there in Shechem where Abraham found refuge and he heard from God, built an altar to the Lord that he would always remember that's where it was, in Shechem, where God gave him his promise. In Shechem, that is littered with the prevailing faithfulness of God in their past. There in Shechem is where Abraham's son understood the God's faithfulness, that God's grace had guided him. His name was Isaac. Isaac then knows God, and he builds an altar in Shechem. In fact, the children of Israel who are gathering here know that the remains of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Leah, and Rebekah are right there in this city, in this valley, in this special place. And so it's with significance then that Joshua is calling them to this special place. It's with significance that God has called them because the truth is, if we're not careful in life, we'll move so fast in life trying to get to the next place that we fail to realize just how significant the place we're in, the season we're in, the life state that we're in, how significant it is right now. It's amazing because when I was a first grader, where are my first graders at? Wave at me. There you are. I want to make sure you're still with me here. When I was a first grader, I was always looking forward to going to second grade. And when I was a preteen, they didn't even call it preteen back then, but when I was a preteen, I was looking forward to being a teenager. Any teenagers in the house? And when I was a teenager, I was looking forward to getting out of my mama's house. I was checking out my kids. I wanted to see how excited they'd get right around there. Always looking forward to the next. And then when I became an adult, I for some reason, I'm looking forward to retirement. And then after retirement, I guess you look forward to grandchildren and then going to see the Lord face to face. I don't know what you look forward to. But what happens, kind of, I heard you, I appreciate that. What happens is sometimes we move so fast that we fail to appreciate exactly where God has us now. They're in Shechem, and Shechem is filled with signs. And what I want to impress upon you is that where we are now is significant. Where they are in the text is significant because it's filled with all kinds of signs of God's faithfulness. Everywhere they look in Shechem, they see a reminder of God's faithfulness. But come here, let me sit right next to you just for a moment. Because if we run too fast in our experience here, then we will miss the signs of God's faithfulness. We will miss the signs that God is still here. We will get so succumbed to what happens negatively in the world that we gather in this place we call the worship center, Tanya, and time after time what happens is if we're not careful, we'll lose the sight of the significance of where we are right now. Let me work for a moment here. Because when you got on the parking lot, you're able to see a building we call a worship center. I know some of us call it church, but this is the building is not the church. We are the church that gathers in this building. But the building is a reminder, a sign of the faith that those who are a part of the church who are before us had when they constructed this building. You're not with me just yet here. When you come to the doors, there's a sign that the doors are open to you that reminds you that in Jesus Christ, we have open access to God. There's always signs around you. Oh, you're not with me just yet. Let me see if I can get you a little better here then. Then when you look around, you see the color in the interior. It gives you a sign of the sacrifice of God who bled and died for us. There are signs all over. You're still not with me just yet. Let me help you. When you look at the baptistry, you see people giving their lives and testimony to the congregation of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're still not with me just yet here. When you look at the cross, you see a sign that says Jesus loved us enough to die for us. Every time you come in this sacred space, there are signs. Hold on now. When you look around you, you see signs of people who've been blessed by God, gripped by God's grace, that God has been provided for you. Has God done anything for anybody up in here that you're not ashamed to say, you know what? I am a sign of God's faithfulness because God has been good to me. He calls them to see the signs. And brothers and sisters, as you navigate life's transitions, don't move so fast that you miss the signs. Because God still speaks to you. God still cares for you. And God still provides for you. He calls them to Shechem. And it's at Shechem that they realize that where they are is significant. But secondly, if we're going to navigate life's transitions, not only ought to realize that where we are right now in this life, in this season, wherever you are as a college student, whatever's happening in your life right now, God is fully aware and there's something special he has for your life today, at this moment, at this age. And as you navigate life's transitions, slow down enough to see the signs. Because when you see the signs, you will come to realize that where God guides, grace he provides. That when you follow God's guidance, God will give you grace. Let me unpack that for a moment, Connie. That's his unmerited favor. That's when God gives you grace. And somebody told me once ago, favor's not fair, but I appreciate that God gives it to me. Anybody here can testify that everything you have in life wasn't because you're so good, wasn't because you're so smart. In fact, the truth is, we need to testify to some young people in here to help them understand that everything we have because of the grace of God. We need to let them know that the reason I am where I am, in fact, the reason you survived the loss of the Astros, and amen, it's because of the grace of God. we survived traffic and getting here safely because of the grace of God. Please don't miss this, because wherever God guides, his grace he provides. And so it's important for all of us to understand that we must commit to God's guidance We must commit our lives to God's guidance, and we must be willing to guide others to God. He calls them together at Shechem, and is here where the Lord reminds them. Look what he says, you did not do it with your own sword or bow. God says, I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Let me go ahead and unpack that for a moment here. You're sitting in a worship center that you did not build. In fact, you rode in a car that you did not build. But God, by his grace, provided for you. God, by his grace, said, you know what? Even though we deserve death for our sins, God's still been good to us. I'm preaching to somebody in here that God is so good to us that he keeps on and he keeps on and he keeps on providing for us. Look, I'm looking at you. You look healthy and blessed that God, and you never missed a meal. I got to look for friends when I say stuff like that. That God continues to provide for us. He feeds us when we're hungry. He has shelter over us. And hear me, there's truth in the scripture when David said that I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread, because even when you didn't have money coming in, didn't God still provide? Even when people walked out on you, God still walked in. Did not God provide? I'm talking to somebody in here. Even when you didn't think you were going to make it to the next day, let alone the next month, did not God provide? Don't miss it. Because wherever God guides, he provides. And so here they are. He's provided for them. The context is such, so as that God provided the allotment that he promised he would provide. That from chapters 13 all the way to chapter 21 is the allotment that's given out to every tribe of Israel that God promised Abraham, that God's grace provided for Abraham when he was in his daddy's house in Terah's territory. God's grace provided for him and got him out of a paganistic society. God's grace guided him and it went to Jacob, so that when Jacob was running from his past, God's grace guided him so that he might find favor right there in Shechem. Because if you don't know this or not, Jacob was a son, a descendant of Abraham, and God changed his name to Israel right there in Shechem, because God's grace has a way of getting you out. I'm still preaching here. And not only does he get it out, but God changes his name to Israel, where we get the Israelites. And now the very people whom God has as descendants from somebody who trusted God are still being blessed by God. I hope you got that, because sometimes it takes one person in the house just to have enough faith in God to trust God. It takes one parent in the house to have enough faith in God to trust God. It takes one grandparent in the house to trust God enough that I'm going to pray for my grandchild. I'm going to pray for my child. And let me tell you how God works. The anointing that God has on your life. David said it this way, my cup overflows, which means it overflows and touches anything that's around me. And that's why you ought not stop praising him. That's why you ought not stop talking about him, because there are others who need to know that it's by grace we are saved through faith. I'm fretful of what my life would be like if somebody hadn't prayed for me. Song we used to sing, my mama prayed for me, had me on her mind, took the time and prayed for me. And in the Baptist church I grew up in, you can add verses in the Baptist church I grew up in. So they throw another verse in there. Yeah, well, my grandmama prayed for me, had me on her mind, took the time out and prayed for me. Then they get real religious and say, the preacher, my pastor prayed for me. And he does. I pray for you all by name before God, because I know that God has something special in store, that as you go through life, he wants to guide you, that you not miss him while you go through what you're going through. Are you with me in this place? Because Chad, we know, had it not been for the grace of God and others guiding us, maybe you all had it made and shaved a glass of lemonade. Maybe y'all didn't get nothing wrong in y'all life. But Will and I both know that had it not been for the Lord, who was on our side. I feel it, Lord. I gotta dial back. I gotta dial back here. But when God is with you, so God is with them, and they're in the place that God provided. So now this ragtag group of people who are aimlessly wandering in nowhere are now here. I hope you catch this. My daughter and I were talking about this. They went from nowhere to now here. I hope you see it, because the difference between nowhere and now here is where you put the space. Do you see it there? Do you see it? You don't see it yet. Let me help you. Same letters that make nowhere are the same letters that make now here. And the difference is where you put the, you with me here. So when you make room for God and you put space for God in your life, God will take wherever you feel is wandering in your life, and he'll be now present with you in your life, in this season, in this setting of your life. God will be with you now here. And when you know him personally, Susan, he says, I'll never leave you. No, will I forsake you. When God comes in your life and you make room for God in your life, you understand how God can bring clarity to a chaotic life. You'll know how God can take the pieces of your life, put them back together, and give you his peace. When you make room for God in life, you'll know that God will protect, he'll provide, and he'll guide you through life's transitions. So here they are. They're accepting of the promise. And now Joshua, as he shares with them all that God has done in the 24th chapter, and all that God is doing, as he shares with them how God carried them through the wilderness and provided for them in the wilderness, as he shares with them that everything they have, God provided, he then calls them to a point of invitation. Anthony, it's right there in the Bible. It's right there in the text. Because God, he calls them to this point of invitation. You heard Justin read it. He said, now, I love that, now fear the Lord and faithfully serve him. That is what he says. Now, if serving the gods of your forefathers is desirable, if serving the gods of the Amorites in whom land you're living, if that's desirable, he says, you go ahead and do that. I like this here, because everybody can't speak for their house. He said, but as for me, let me go ahead and talk to my house for a moment here. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We got to unpack this for a moment, because the reality is that what he's sharing with them is, if we're going to progress through life's transitions, if we're going to be all that God has called us to be and do all that God has called us to do, if you're not only going to navigate life's transitions, but you're going to grow as you navigate it, brothers and sisters, please hear me. You have to be willing to go in the light of God's grace. Look at text. He says to them, now if serving God is undesirable, right there in the 14th verse. If I get to the 14th verse, there it is. Now fear the Lord and serve him. Now, today, not next week, not next year, not when I get older, not when I get better. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him in all faithfulness. Here it is. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that they worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve. Will you serve the gods of your ancestors, the gods of the Amorites, in whom land you are living? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I love that term he uses there, now. Now. That we're going to choose to do it now. Because, brothers and sisters, if you want to see God in your experience, you have to first fear him. Reverence, respect for him. Have respect for God. But not only do you have respect for God, you got to start with God. When you start your day off with God. when you go through your day and you got that crazy coworker that gets on your last on that Christian nerve that you have. If you start with God, God will keep your heart and your mind, Philippians says, in peace. He'll keep you when you start with him, but if you start with him, make sure you stay with him. You got to stay with God throughout the day, and you'll see the light of his grace always shining about you. And this is important, brothers and sisters, that we stay with God. And the way we do it, check out what he says. He says, now, throw away your idols. Throw away whatever gets in the way of you getting close to God. If that's a relationship, you text them right now. Pastor told me to throw you away. If it gets in, I knew I had at least one person up there listening in here. If it gets in the way, throw it away. Whatever it is in life that is preventing you from getting close to God, then it's not from God for your life. I hope you hear me in here. If you're going to navigate life's transitions with peace and God's provision, you got to make sure stuff that's trying to get in the way don't stay in the way. You know, Brandon, that's why Paul said we throw every weight that easily beset us as we run with perseverance to the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. If it's in the way, throw it away. But finally, brothers and sisters, there's a reason why I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this because oftentimes in life's transition, God has a holy responsibility for us. And it's to live a life in such a way that leads others to Christ. I mean, really hear me. If we lose the significance of why we're here and what we do and why we do what we do, then we're not going to lead another generation to Christ. I want you to get this. Because the Bible says Joshua is 110 years old. He's speaking to the elders and the leaders. And he's telling them to choose God and serve God faithfully. And so he's passing the baton to them, Pastor George. The baton of belief that you ought to choose God and serve him faithfully. But something happened. Because there's a generation who are coming after us. And if we fail to live lives that lead them to Christ, somebody might pass by this building one day and say, I wonder what that building was for. Somebody in the next generation could come by and say, yeah, there's a shopping mall here, but I understand it used to be something else. Because in Judges, the next book over from Joshua, chapter 2, right around verse 8 through 10, the text says that Joshua was laid to rest. And the generation that came after him, that followed him, was laid to rest. And there rose a generation who did not know God, nor the things that he had done. And it wasn't the generation's fault. It rested upon the responsibility of those who came before them, who failed to pass it on to them. Oh, you're not with me just yet here. Ranger, I need your help. Ranger, Valentina, I think you're in here. Micah, Melody, AJ, I need your help. I need your help because they're not getting this. They need first graders to help them understand this because we have a belief that God is calling us to extend to someone else. Wait, hold on, bro. You in a hurry. You know what? That'll preach right there. Because there's a generation who's yearning to know how you made it. Yearning to know why we come in here all the time. Yearning to know why we study and sing these songs. Because we have to pass it on to them that they can know it for themselves. Are you ready? So then when we take the blessings that God has given us and we extend it and tell people, I'm not going to hit you with it, man. No, don't jump. When we extend it to them, then we give it to them. And we're passing on, this is what we believe, so that they could take it with all their energy and run, come on, and pass it. And they're running with it because we passed it on. You got to give them some encouragement here. He got short legs. He has the belief. He's passing it on, that we're passing it one to the other. And so we're able then to carry it to the next one, and to carry it to the next one, and to carry it to the next one. You're not giving them enough encouragement. That's the problem. That's the problem here. And when you drop the baton, you pick it back up, and you carry it to the next one, and to the next one. Come on, you can do it. You encourage them. You can do it. We can do it. You give it to them, and they give it to someone else. At school, at home, in the community, they keep passing it on. You can do it, AJ. You can do it. 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 Hold it up. Hold it up, AJ. Hold it up. Hold it up. If we don't tell them how we went from nowhere to now here, then this stage will be empty. And there'll be no one to lead the next generation. So while you're navigating life's transitions, don't forget to tell them how we got here, so they can tell another person what got them here.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.